you stand today as we turn to the book of Acts and the seventh chapter is the history lesson by a young man named Stephen. And as you read his summary of the things of God, and then realize the end of the chapter is the end of Stephen's life. I don't know how many times he had to minister. I don't think they had a share scripture program here before Peter or James, John got up to preach, and they called on Stephen and Philip and different ones to come on up and share scripture. Amen. This was probably one huge opportunity for Stephen, but it was his final opportunity. And the amazing thing is that he knew so much. The lessons from at the synagogue or the temple, wherever Stephen went, were lessons that he learned thoroughly and what he had to share. We're not going to look at the whole lesson. It's a long chapter. But we're going to look at a couple of verses in his summary of the history of Israel. Verse 9 and verse 10, if you would read with me there. In Stephen's history of Israel. And thank God that as a young man, he was able to recount all of this. He was able to share it one point after the other, one area of Israel's history after another. And it was because there were teachers, there were parents, there were preachers who invested in that young man. Now, verse 9, let's read. The patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Praise God. Now, just in those two verses, we know there's quite a story that Stephen is summarizing, just as he summarizes the whole of Israel's history here and presents it in a nutshell or a thumbnail sketch of all that happened. We know there's quite a bit that went on here in these two verses, but I thought, wow, that is amazing how he can summarize it so well. God was with him, delivered him, gave him, made him, and we see the Lord working in Joseph's life. And the key, of course, is God was with him. That's what we've got to focus on in 2011. I want God with me. Amen. And he can deliver me. He can give me. He can make me what I need to be in this year. Thank God. God was with him. You may be seated. Now, let me drop back one generation from Joseph and look at Jacob and how that God's presence was with Jacob as well. In Genesis 28 and 15, we have God's promise to Jacob. And Jacob is fleeing from his home now. He has been given the birthright. He obtained the birthright. He obtained the blessing that goes with the birthright. But things aren't going real smoothly with him right now because he understands the anger of Esau and how upset he is and so on. But even in the midst of all of that trouble, God appears to him in a dream and says in verse 15 of Genesis 28, "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So the promise that God gave to Jacob is of his presence being with him. And we can conclude God was with him. God was with Jacob as well. And God prospered Jacob when he departed from his home, and he goes to his uncle Laban. And for 20 years he is there with Laban. His faith prospers, his family increases, his flocks, my goodness, there was a prosperity there as well that the Lord provided for him in abundance. God's presence is what made Jacob powerful. And it was underscored, as it were, in Genesis 32, when Jacob has this prayer meeting. He has this time of prayer, and he is wrestling with the angel. And the outcome of it is, of course, his name becomes Israel, because he's a prince with God, and he has power with God. That's the most important thing. Obviously, his family increasing, Leah and Rachel and the children, and all of his flocks. And Sister Glover and I were discussing that the other day. How could the pedigree or the outcome or the flocks that were given birth to be changed, striped and spotted and all, you know, the whole process there, by him putting out these branches and them coming to get water and the mating process and the reproduction and so on of all of the flocks. How could it have come to his favor by all of this? But regardless of what he did, whether it was more trickery and more deceit or more arranging of things by Jacob, God blessed him. God provided for him. But the most important thing was for him to have power with God. Not only that, but his walk changed as well. I'm thankful God is able to help us to prioritize, help us to see what is more important, and understand that our walk with him needs to change us. Not just a, oh yeah, I know God. Oh yeah, I go to Sunday school. Oh yes, I'm in church. I know those things. But our walk, day by day, hour by hour, to change as well. And that's what happened to Jacob. No doubt he told these stories to his boys. And Joseph, being his 11th son, would hear the stories about the presence of the Lord. And perhaps Jacob could quote the words of the Lord from Genesis 28:15 and tell them about the time that he was out in the field and he had this dream, and the Lord said, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I will not leave thee. And all just the glory and the power and the wonder of the Lord speaking to him at this time. I'm sure that he told all of his sons, and Joseph in particular, because that he was the favorite, and the coat of many colors and all of that we hear in the story. However, Joseph, as a 17-year-old, was mistreated and sold into slavery by his brothers, and we know that. And that's where the phrase, God was with him, but God was with him. In spite of those circumstances, in spite of the mistreatment, in spite of being sold into slavery and no longer home with his parents, no longer in their presence, no longer the camaraderie as brief as it may have been or as abbreviated as perhaps it was by the problems that his brothers had with him. He was no longer there, but God was with him. Praise God. Genesis 39:2 declares the Lord was with Joseph, and others recognized it. You go on right into the next verse. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Potiphar recognized, here is a young man, and again, 17 years old, and he's no longer in Canaan. He's no longer with his family. He no longer hears prayers in Hebrew. He no longer has these sacrifices and so on. Instead, He is in Potiphar's house. Potiphar is the captain of the guard. He is in service to Pharaoh. There's a lot of importance. There's a lot of things that are going on. There's a lot of adapting that Joseph has to do, but there is not an adaptation that he makes to Egyptian gods and the Egyptian religion and Egyptian culture. Amen. Potiphar recognized the Lord was with him. Thank God for young people who can understand how vital it is, no matter where I am, no matter what class I'm a part of, no matter what I'm hearing, I'm still going to hear the voice of God. I'm still going to desire God in my life. I'm still going to walk with him. Amen. So his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, this is all well and good. And certainly Joseph was being delivered, and God was giving him, God was making him, God was providing for him, and all of the things that Stephen summarizes there in Acts chapter 7. Mrs. Potiphar noticed him as well, and she wanted to be with him, and the seduction and opportunities and temptation, all of that was going on as well. Joseph said, however, how can I do this great wickedness? He knew it was an opportunity. He knew that what she was offering him, he understood what was going on, but he recognized it was wickedness. It was sin. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Even though perhaps there were others who were taking advantage and using the opportunities and giving into the temptation, he was stepping back and saying, it's wickedness, it's sin, I'm not going to do that. Amen. We know that Mrs. Potiphar was persistent. She wanted to be with Joseph. And the whole situation then came about where she grabbed his coat as he fled from her presence. He lost his second coat now. Poor guy, he can't hang on to his coats. But what he kept was his robe of righteousness. Amen. He wasn't going to let that go. He wasn't going to let that fall. Amen. And so he ended up being in prison. Another letdown, another problem. But Genesis 39:21 says God was with him. Praise God. Even in prison. I'm thankful there are some things that the devil can't lock out of your life. The devil can't eliminate from your life. If you desire the Lord in your life, thank God he's going to be there. God was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Amen. The Lord will show up. The Lord will be there. Verse 23, the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And Joseph stayed with his God. Not only did God stay with Joseph, Joseph stayed with his God. He maintained his Hebrew heritage. He kept his language so that years later he was able to understand what his brothers were saying when they came to him. He kept his faith in God, his belief in the Lord. Praise God. When it came time for him to step forward and interpret the dream, he had interpreted the dreams of the butler, he interpreted the dreams of the baker, and now it came time for him to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. He said, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer. Praise God. Oh yes, he kept his faith. He kept his belief. He held on to it, and that was why God was with him as well. The dreamer could have become a doubter. Remember, he had those dreams. My brother's going to bow down. My mom and dad are going to bow down. And that it was a point of contention with his brothers. But those dreams were there. And they could have dissolved into doubts. But Joseph kept the right attitude. Amen. He rolled up his sleeves and he went to work. And whatever he did, God made it to prosper. And God brought Joseph into a place of power, a place of prestige, a place with a great position in Pharaoh's kingdom. And finally, his dreams came to pass as well, just as God had given to him with his brothers coming and bowing down. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. Joseph saw the fulfillment of that, even though it was years later that James would write that from the word of the Lord. And thank God you and I can happily live this principle as well. Amen. As we serve him, as we walk with him, as we let God be with us, we humble ourselves before the Lord and let him lift us up. And thank God it happens. Just in the same way that the Lord ministered to Joseph, God can minister to you. And eventually, praise God, there is going to be the sounding of the trumpet. There is going to be the shout. There is going to be the voice of the archangel. And you will be lifted up. Oh, man, lifted up in the Spirit, lifted up by his resurrection power, lifted up in the Holy Ghost so that we are in his presence forever and God with us will bring us to that point. Amen. The Lord's with us to fight our battles. God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage and won many battles for them as they wandered in the wilderness. The promise of his presence continued. I like Deuteronomy 20:1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, you're outnumbered. They've got more, they've got better, and they're going to come against you. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Thank God. You don't have to be afraid when you see yourself outnumbered. You see yourself outmaneuvered. You see yourself surrounded, and it seems like you're going down. The Lord thy God is with thee. So they marched forward around Jericho. They had a problem at Ai, but eventually God gave them the victory. And the Amorites, and it goes on and named a whole bunch of different ites that were there. Joshua 12:24 gives us the number of 31 kings that were defeated. Oh, God knows how to go before you. God knows how to bring victory. Giants and all, it doesn't matter. God will give you victory. Joshua challenged the house of Joseph. In Joshua 17, he talked to Ephraim and Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph. Thank God they continued on serving the Lord. He told them, thou art a great people. You have great power. The mountain is going to be yours. The inheritance is going to be there for you. Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites. He said, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong, you can go forward because you're a great people with great power. What was he letting them know? He was saying, God's still with you. The Lord's still with you. Don't be afraid. The Lord thy God is with you. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful there's protection by his presence. Elisha was the protege of Elijah. And the Syrian king was plotting against the king of Israel. And every time he made a plan, every time he had a strategy, it was made known to the king of Israel. The king of Syria was upset. Who's against us anyway? Who's informing on us? What he didn't know was that there was an early form of Israeli intelligence. Oh, man. We talk about satellites today and drones and all kinds of different things that make up the spy networks. And Israeli intelligence is probably one to be admired. Here it is. Way before all of the satellites and all of the other things that went on. And they finally discovered Elisha is the one who is telling what's going to happen. God was showing him. God was with Elisha. Amen. So the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great host to surround the city where Elisha and his servant were. And in the morning, the servant awakened and got up and looked out and saw the great host of these horses and chariots of the king of Syria and the army that surrounded the city. And he cried out, just like any one of us perhaps would as well. And perhaps as we do, alas! How shall we do? Alas, master, what are we going to do? Elisha proclaimed, fear not. And he wasn't off his rocker. He wasn't just whistling in the graveyard. He had a confidence in God. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Amen. I can just imagine that poor servant looking at Elisha and himself and then looking at all of the army that surrounded the city. and looking at Elisha and himself again, and one, two, and then looking out there and seeing the host. Oh, thank God that the Lord would speak to Elisha as well. Now, Elisha prayed. Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Praise God. And oh, man, that must have been a sight. We're amazed when we see the aurora borealis, the northern lights, and we see them waving and the different colors and so on, and how awesome. It must have been something like that that servant saw. The horses and chariots of fire. Well, the horses and chariots of the army of the enemy was there, definitely, in abundance. They were still there. They didn't disappear. They didn't go away. But there was horses and chariots of fire as well. Praise God. And the power of the Lord, I'm sure, infused that servant with courage. And the fear began to dissipate. Elisha prayed again. And he said, smite this people with blindness. And the whole army of the enemy became blind. And they couldn't see. They couldn't make their way. They couldn't find who they were looking for. And Elisha guided them to the king of Israel. And he prayed a third time. Lord, open the eyes of these men. You kind of understand at this point that prayer is really a powerful weapon. Amen. Elisha didn't get some mercenaries. Elisha didn't summon another army. Elisha did not communicate with another king. He didn't send ambassadors and try to arrange terms of surrender. No. He prayed. He prayed. God, help us to keep praying. God, help us to keep using that resource. God, help us to keep calling upon the Lord and understand the Lord was with us. Elisha prayed, open their eyes. Open this young man's eyes. Elisha prayed, shut their eyes. Amen. Thank God that there can come a time when we reach out for the Lord to say, God, open my eyes and help me to see the resources that you have available. And Lord, you see the threats, you see the persecution, you see the ridicule, you see the problem. Shut their eyes, Lord, and let your power go forth. Amen. Amen. And Lord, they need to be saved. They need to have understanding. They need to have knowledge. Open their eyes and let them see these truths of baptism in the name of Jesus. Let them see the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Let them see one God manifest in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, open their eyes and let them see. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord that can be revealed in prayer as you call upon his name. So the king of Israel was commanded to feed his enemies. That was the principle that Jesus taught in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Feed your enemies. Amen. And he did that day. You know, Isaiah 41 and 2 is a wonderful verse that we like to look at. I like to look at it. I like to see how the Lord says you're going to go through the waters. You're going to go through the rivers. You're going to go through the fire. You're going to make it. You're going to come through. Amen. You're not going to get out there halfway and things are going to start to sink. Yeah, the waters are not going to overwhelm you. The fires are not going to be kindled up against you. You're going to go through those things. But here's the key. Here's the key now for those things to happen. God says, I will be with thee. Amen. I will be with thee. That's how you're going to go through the waters. I will be with thee. That's how you're going to go through the rivers. I will be with thee. That's how you're going to go through the fire. That's the key. Make sure you hold on to the key. Make sure you keep the key. I want the Lord with me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go places that he can't go with me. I'm not going to do things that he is not satisfied with. I'm not going to go in the direction that he is not pleased. I want the Lord to be with me because he is the key for the victory that I've got to have in him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God desires to be with you. That's why the prophecy about Emmanuel was given hundreds of years before he came. That's why his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. The gospel really is good news. Because he came to be with us. Amen. God in us is his plan. Jesus promised a comforter. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise God. I'm thankful that we know who the comforter is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank the Lord. And the provision of his presence. Oh, how incredible for the blessings of the Lord to continue again and again. He'll give you rest. Moses talked with the Lord. He asked for favor to lead the people. Exodus 33 and 14, God told him, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then Moses asked to see the glory of God, and he was hidden in a cleft of the rock as God passed by, and his glory was revealed. Amen. It was there in part. But, oh, man, you go hundreds of years later, and here's Jesus. He's invited Peter, James, and John to come with him. They're up on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, and his glory begins to shine through. Hallelujah. And a voice out of the cloud as Moses and Elijah appear with him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. There's not a holy committee. There's one, a holy one. Thank God that we know his name and we exalt his name above every name and recognize it brings healing. It brings deliverance. It brings power. It brings glory. It brings blessing. It brings remission of sins. It brings salvation. Thank God for the powerful name of the Lord and the glory that Moses saw as well as all the others who were there. Amen. To give glory to the Lord. Come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest. Praise God. The promise that was given to Moses, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. Jesus reiterates that generations and centuries later, I will give you rest if you come unto me. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Thank God we can be drawn closer to him. There's joy from his presence. In his presence, Psalm 16 and 11 says there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Jesus said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for the provisions of his presence. That's why it's so good to have the Lord with you, his spirit in you. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. In the Holy Ghost, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Peter wrote, even the angels desire to look into that. They want to know what it is to have his presence. They're in his presence all the time. They do his bidding. They go and minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. But they would love to experience the infilling of the Holy Ghost that you have. Yes, they would. That should help us to understand how important it is, how powerful it is, how wonderful it is to have the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The peace of his presence. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. Thank God. There's not a huge crowd crying Hosanna now. That was a few days before. Their palm branches were waving. They were taking their coats off and laying them before him as he entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, the foal and so on, of a colt and all that. Oh, yes, they were praising and worshiping and all that. That was a few days before. Now there's just a few. Now they're frightened. They're scared almost out of their mind. They don't know what is going to happen. They're hearing reports that the tomb is empty. They're hearing reports from Mary and John and so on. He's gone. We don't know where they've taken him. We don't know where his body is. And all of a sudden, there he is in the midst. Praise God. He knows how to come in the middle of your trouble. Amen. He knows how to come in your turmoil. He knows how to step into your tragedy. He knows how to minister to your needs. Praise God. He'll be right there in the midst. And listen to what he says. Peace be unto you. Praise God. Peace be be unto you. Oh, thank God, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, he said, even unto the end of the world. And it doesn't stop there. Thank God, his presence goes on into eternity with you. But thank God, he'll be with you right here as you try to evangelize, as you try to share a message of hope, as you try to assure somebody who has a message of simply gloom and doom that there is a God of hope. There is a power you can receive. There is a blessing you can know. There's a touch from God that you can have. Hallelujah. Because the Lord went with them as they went forth preaching everywhere. The Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. He'll do the same thing for you. Thank God. Yes, he will. We're laborers together with God. We plant and we water. He gives the increase. I'm glad the increase is not our job. Amen. We would sell ourselves short. We would. But our job is to plant the seed of the Word of God and water that with prayer, with fasting, and with teaching, and with continuing to encourage and to help. And bring them to share groups. Bring them to the house of the Lord. Teach them Bible study. Praise God. We plant. We water. God gives the increase. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. I'm glad to have the Lord with us. Amen. And then the reciprocal is going to happen as well, because Paul gave the promise in 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh yeah, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We're going to rise with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's with us to bring us to that point. He's with us to bring us through every test, every trial, every tribulation. Amen. All the trouble that we experience, he's with us. We experience his presence here, and we celebrate in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. He's with us, and we feel his presence, and we worship him, and we exalt him. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. The devil is bringing all kinds of trouble. The devil is offering all kinds of temptation, all kinds of distraction, but I'm going to exalt the Lord, because his presence is with me. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to continue on believing his word and trusting him and calling upon him, because that's going to bring me to the moment. In a moment, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's stand today. Praise God. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The power of his resurrection. The sounding of the trumpet. The rapture of the church. No wonder Paul said, comfort one another. Comfort one another with these words. Because we are going to ever be with the Lord. Ever in his presence. Hallelujah. But until then, friend. Until then, like Joseph, let God be with you. Let God deliver you. Let God give you of his blessings, of his favor, of his wisdom. Let God make you what he wants you to be. Just as God did that for Joseph, God will do that for you. In fact, he'll do it even more for you. Even more, because you're called by his name. Amen. Because you're filled with his spirit. Because you're in his church. Because you follow his word. Joseph didn't even have a Bible to read. Never was baptized in the name of Jesus. I suppose the Nile would be a good place to get baptized, wouldn't it? Amen. Make sure its current's not too strong. Baptized right there in the Nile. In the name of Jehovah. I didn't even know the name Jehovah yet. Huh. All kinds of spirits there, worshiping the spirits of cats, the spirits of the moon, the spirits of the sun, all that garbage. That's where Joseph was. but God was with him. Oh man, don't you think God's going to be with you because you know his book? You know his word? You've been baptized in his name. You've been filled with his spirit. Hey, friend, God is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. You're precious in his sight. Now, you just need to determine, I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to stay with God. Just like Joseph was thankful to be a Hebrew and identified as a Hebrew, he didn't lose his language. I'm going to keep talking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I'm going to keep talking to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep calling on his name. Praise God. Joseph held on to his belief, one God, in the midst of all of the polytheism and all of the weird hieroglyphics of the Egyptian culture and civilization. He still believed there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. God will give answers. Amen. God will use you to give answers, just like he did Joseph. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Amen. And I can just see Brother James standing up there after that class, and that professor has gone on with all of the situation of the world, and James steps up to him and says, hey, let me share a word of God with you. He's a God of hope. He's a God of power. He's a God of strength. He's a God of blessing. He's a God of salvation, and he can minister to you. God will use you to give answers. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But you've got to determine in your heart. You've got to make up in your mind and your heart, I'm going to be with God. He promised to be with me. I'm going to be with him. Amen. I know there's going to be a whole bunch of other temptations. I know there's others that are going to want to be with me just like Joseph. And young men and young women, you've got to make up in your mind. If it means being with somebody means being away from God, I'm not going to do it. I choose to be with God. I choose to be with God. Whatever temptation the devil throws in my way, some handsome boy or some good-looking girl, if it means I've got to walk away from God, I'm staying with God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Joseph was in. He was in with Pharaoh. Powerful, powerful position. He learned the Egyptian language. He learned the Egyptian economy. He learned Egyptian mathematics and architecture. Learned it all. But he didn't forget, I'm a Hebrew. I speak Hebrew. I believe in the Hebrew God. Never forgot it. Praise God. He told his brothers, so fearful they were, they bowed down before him. He said, God sent me before you to preserve life. Oh, God with us. Hallelujah. God with us. And the determination, I'm going to stay with God. Hallelujah. Would you come to an altar now and let's make sure we're making that dedication. We're making that consecration. Hallelujah. We're making that commitment. I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to walk with you, God. I'm going to stay with you, God. You promised to be with me. Your word is with me. Your spirit is with me. Your name is with me. Your blood is with me. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for it all. And I promise to stay with you, Lord. I promise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's reach out together to the Lord right now and exalt the name of Jesus. Let's make those commitments. Let's walk with him. Let's stay with him. Hallelujah. Stay in his word. Stay under his blood.